even the hardest problems, can be worrisome in a leader because it tends to close off other views. I had seen it in myself. One of my weaknesses, especially when I was younger, was overconfidence, a tendency to reach a conclusion quickly and cling to it too tightly, or to make a decision too quickly, telling myself I was being decisive when I was really being impulsive and arrogant. I've struggled with it my entire life. But in Obama, I'd also seen the humility to learn from others, which doesn't often exist alongside overconfidence. I still don't know what to make of it, and can't think of a national security issue on which we interacted in which he showed an imbalance of confidence and humility. Instead, I consistently saw President Obama work to get people to relax and tell him what he needed to know. I tried very hard to do the same at the FBI, never forgetting that we are all downhill from our leaders. No matter how flat an organization, there is a hierarchy, and everyone knows what it is. Even if everyone in the room is wearing a hooded sweatshirt, ripped jeans, and flip-flops, even if we are all sitting on beanbags eating trail mix and spitballing ideas on a whiteboard, if anyone in the room is a boss or owner, everyone knows it. Someone in the room is above the others, whether that rank is explicit or not. Speaking uphill takes courage. It takes overcoming a universal human affliction, the imposter complex. All of us labor, to one degree or another, under the belief that if other people really knew us, if they knew us the way we know ourselves, they would think less of us. That's the imposter complex, the fear that by showing ourselves we will be exposed as the flawed person we are. If you don't have this, in some measure, you are an incredible jerk and should stop listening immediately. Speaking candidly to a peer requires us to risk exposure. Speaking uphill to a leader is scarier. Speaking to the top leader of the organization is scarier still. And in a paramilitary organization of many layers like the FBI, dominated for its first half century by a single person, J. Edgar Hoover, the hill is mighty steep. And it is harder than that, because getting the speakers to overcome their imposter complex is only half the answer. The leaders must also overcome their own imposter complex, their fear of being less than perfect. I tried to foster an atmosphere at the FBI where people would tell me the truth. I did things that probably struck people as silly, but they were all carefully thought out. I began by attempting to encourage less formal attire at my regular meetings. I discovered that people dressed to come see the director as if they were going to a funeral. I never wore a jacket to internal meetings, but that wasn't enough. If people are formally dressed, they will think and act in that formal, restrictive box. That is not a recipe for great debate and conversations. Changing the dress code took some doing. I told my senior staff of about 20 people, men and women, not to wear suit jackets to my morning meetings unless they were leaving my meeting directly for a meeting with outsiders where they needed to be dressed up. I had success early on, and then about 3 weeks later, nearly everyone was wearing suit jackets again. I made the clothing announcement again, which got me about 6 weeks of compliance. I kept at it. I worked to build an atmosphere of trust by encouraging leaders to tell the truth about something personal. I asked an entire conference room of FBI senior executives to tell the group something about themselves that would surprise the room, quickly adding to much laughter that it should ideally not be something that would jeopardize their security clearance. Weeks later, I went around the room and asked them to tell me their favorite Halloween candy as a child. In November, I requested their favorite food at Thanksgiving, and in December, their favorite gift of the holiday season. Of course, these could be seen as childish techniques, the kind a teacher might urge on an elementary school classroom. But children open up and trust one another in amazing ways. We were in need of a little more childlike behavior in our lives, because children tend to tell each other the truth more often than adults do. I would need that culture of truth and habit of true listening when the FBI ended up, improbably and unexpectedly, in the middle of the 2016 election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Chapter 10. Roadkill. Standing in the middle of the road is very dangerous. You get knocked down by the traffic from both sides. Margaret Thatcher. I have never met Hillary Clinton, although I tried. When I became the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York in January 2002, I asked my assistant to arrange an introduction to the state's junior senator. I thought it was a standard thing for the United States Attorney, there were four of us representing the federal government in New York State, to know the senators in the state, and I didn't want to be rude. I'd met the other senator, Chuck Schumer, during the Senate confirmation process, but for some reason I had not met Clinton. After a number of attempts and multiple messages with Clinton's office, we gave up. It wasn't a big deal at the time, but I found it odd. To this day, I don't know why the meeting never happened. I suppose it could be the result of poor administrative support at Clinton's office, or she was simply too busy. I suppose it also could have been due to the fact that 7 years earlier, I had worked for 5 months for the Senate committee investigating the Clintons for a variety of things grouped under the heading Whitewater. I was a junior lawyer for the committee, still working at a Richmond law firm and charging the Senate by the hour. My focus was largely on the suicide of the former Deputy White House Counsel Vincent Foster and the handling of documents in his office. But my role on the Whitewater Committee was so minor and so short, I left the assignment when our son Colin died in August 1995, that it seemed unlikely that was the reason the senator wasn't returning my calls. The unreturned messages in early 2002 were more